70. Dotty. It was after midnight, and Innocenti and Dotty were on their way home by taxi. A heavy snowfall was emptying the streets, half-hiding buildings behind its white veil. It seemed to promise peace and oblivion. The warm feeling for his wife, stirred by her unexpected docility at his father-in-law's home, remained with him now that there was no one to see them. Dotty prattled uninhibitedly about every one and everything, the party, the guests, whether Clara would ever get married and to whom. Innocenti listened indulgently. He was relaxing, resting after the intolerable strain of the last 24 hours. And somehow there was no one he would have found more restful at that moment than this dear, degraded, unfaithful, rejected woman, in spite of everything, his indispensable fellow traveller along the road of life. Absent-mindedly, he put an arm around her shoulders. They stayed like that for the rest of the journey. His body throbbed once more for the contact with this woman that he had renounced forever. He looked sideways at her, glanced at her lips. Lips unlike any others. Lips that you could press to your own in a long, long kiss and never feel sated. Innocenti knew from experience that there were few other women, if any, of whom this was true. He knew that no woman combined all the characteristics you might hope to find in her. You would have to select piecemeal and combine one woman's lips with another's hair, another's complexion, and various features from yet others to produce what nature refused to provide. And, of course, you would need to select the preferred temperament, character, mentality, habits. It wasn't Dotty's fault that she wasn't perfect. Nobody was. And she had many good points. What, he wondered, if this woman had never been his wife or mistress? What if he knew that she belonged to another but was sitting there submissively with his arm around her on the way to his apartment? What would his feelings toward her be then? Surely he would not hold it against her that she had been in the arms of other men, many other men. Why, then, did he find the thought humiliating just because she was his wife? Yet, however absurd, however despicable he felt it to be, this woman, defiled as she was all the more fatally attractive to him. He took his arm away. Better, of course, to think of anything rather than his pursuers. Of the ambush perhaps awaiting him at home. On the stairs? Or actually inside his apartment? They could get in easily enough. That, in fact, he could see it clearly, was just what was about to happen. They would be there already, in his own apartment, lying in wait. And the moment he unlocked the door, they would rush into the hallway and pounce on him. Perhaps these peaceful minutes in the back of a cab, with his arm around the unsuspecting Dotty, were, in fact, his last minutes of freedom. Perhaps, though, it was time he told her something. He looked at her compassionately, tenderly even. Dotty was immediately conscious of that look, and her upper lip quivered endearingly. What, though, could he tell her in a few words, even after he had paid and dismissed the cabbie? That country and government were not the same thing? That it would be criminal to let a crazy regime get its hands on such a superhuman weapon? That their country did not need military might, and that only when they were rid of it would they really begin to live? These were things hardly any of those in power would understand, not to mention the scientists who were feverishly labouring to produce some sort of bomb. So how could the overdressed, luxury-loving wife of a diplomat be expected to understand? Then again, he remembered how often Dotty had clumsily interrupted a heart-to-heart conversation with some crass, irrelevant remark. She was tactless, always had been, and no one could feel the want of something never possessed. He avoided looking at her and remained silent on the landing. He turned the first key in the lock, inserted the Yale key, and stood aside as usual to let her go first. Was he letting her walk into a trap? Perhaps it would be better that way. She had nothing to lose, and he would see them, and... No, he wouldn't run for it, but he'd have 5 more seconds to think of something. Dotty walked in and switched on the light. Nobody jumped them. There were no strange coats on the hooks. No footprints left by careless intruders. This meant nothing. He would still need to inspect every room. But deep down he was convinced that no one was lurking. Bolt the door at once. Double bolt it. Open it to no one. We're fast asleep. Nobody home. His body was suffused with a warm feeling of security, and Dotty was there to share his safety and happiness. He felt grateful to her as he helped her take off her coat. She bowed her head so that he could see the nape of her neck and her unusual hairline, and said penitently, softly but clearly, "Beat me. Thrash me like a peasant thrashes his woman." She looked up at him, wide-eyed. She meant it. There was no hint of tears. She never broke down and wept, as most women do. Her eyes would be moist for just a moment, then so dry that they looked dull and vacant. But Innocenti was no peasant. He could not bring himself to beat his wife. It would never have occurred to him that such a thing was possible. He laid his hands on her shoulders. "Why are you so crude sometimes?" "I'm crude when I'm hurting badly. Beat me." They stood there awkwardly, at a loss. "I've been so unhappy this last day or two, so terribly unhappy," Innocenti said plaintively. Dotty, no longer penitent, said what it was right for her to say, and those luscious lips whispered, "I know, but I can make you feel better." "I don't think so," he said with a miserable laugh. "Even you can't do that." "There's nothing I can't do," she insisted in a low voice. "What good would it be loving you if I couldn't make you forget your troubles?" And Innocenti found himself pressing his lips to hers, as in the time he liked best to remember. The relentless dread in his soul was overwhelmed by a feeling of bliss. They went through the flat, still entwined, and with no thought of a trap. Innocenti was lost in a universe of warm, maternal love. No longer shivering, Dotty was his universe.